Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. You're hearing Collective Soul in the background. Why? Because we like smiling.
Because why the fuck not?
Exactly, Adam Ray.
Collective Soul is one of those bands that... I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I was like, God, what? Like, there's certain songs that... First of all, Another Night, Another Dream by The Real McCoy. You know that song? Another night,
Do I have it?
Yeah, you're about to pull it up. I think I want to walk down to the aisle to that song. I'm starting to think, I'm not getting close to marriage, but I'm starting to think about things that I'm going to want, because the more weddings that I attend, the more I go, I don't want to do what's done, man.
Totally
true. I want, right? I want it to be, I don't know, man. I want to put my own spin on it, like anything, like, you know, it, and I won't be able to walk away going, talking about like, fuck, that was weird. Also, I just don't, it's going to, I don't want to take the emotion out of it. Like, I want to cry. I want it to be. But I also don't want, I mean, I also, shit, man, I don't, maybe I don't want to cry. I want to cry looking
There's
back
something...
at stuff. I want to cry when I look back when we're getting a divorce going, fuck, man, we walked down the aisle to Another Night, Another Dream. How did we not fucking write it out?
Yeah, this is not me downloading. This is not me going to YouTube. This is on my iTunes.
Is it really?
This is on my iTunes.
Look. This is why we're friends, man.
See? That's on my iTunes.
Hey.
How could you not bob your head to this one?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the bride and groom, and I'll get the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy to do it. Ladies and gentlemen.
No. Get the, do the announcer from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
It's Adam Ray's wedding with Adam Ray. And
also featuring Brad Williams.
Yeah, you'll be my ring bearer.
Darn right.
Yeah, wait.
Featuring Adam Ray and his wife.
To be named later.
No. We got to come up with it.
Okay. Michelle Trachtenberg. She's a celebrity.
All right. Yeah, she's not bad. No.
Yeah, you never know.
Annie Lennox.
that's good. Actually, you know what? No, maybe it'd be Alanis Morissette.
Oh, Alanis Morissette.
Because then we could do because I would love to sing a duet with my wife, with my honey, with my boo bear.
See.
What's going to be your nickname for your sweetheart?
Oh, yeah, because you always have those nicknames.
You always have nicknames. And I feel like they change. When people are like 20s, it's like, you know, like babe and...
Yeah, it's babe and sweetheart.
Pookie and cinnamon
all
twist
that.
And...
cinnamon twist?
Nipple fuck.
It sounds like flavors of fruit by the foot. Cinnamon twist.
Oh, no, I thought nipple fuck. Was that where you got the fruit by the foot?
That's obviously where I was going. Who wouldn't want
boysenberry nipple fuck?
Boysenberry nipple fuck. That sounds like a gay porn nickname. Yeah, my friend's gay. He loves watching gay porn with that gay porn star, Boysenberry Nipple Fuck.
Boysenberry Nipple Fuck. He Woo! Loves it. No, but what song would you walk down to the aisle?
Oh, my God. See, I would do it because I plan on being very wealthy. That's my deal.
You're going to be.
I'm going to be rich as shit.
So you're going to hide. Okay, so you would not only have The Real McCoy playing live. But you would have Justin Bieber dancing to The Real McCoy, even though he won't know what that is.
Right.
Isn't that sad? Justin Bieber doesn't know what Real McCoy is.
Bieber isn't living a full life.
But he is coming out with a second movie I just saw, some preview
for.
Yeah, in Christmas. It's called, like,
what?
Believe or something.
Of course it is.
Dude, enough people are believing in you right now, dude. You're coming out with another movie, and you're not even 20.
You have.
I just came out
16.
My first movie, and you're 10 years, and I was kind of in it. And you have your own movie.
No, this would be my wedding song that I would walk.
Please
down
say it's
to.
All for one. I
Better.
Swear.
Here we go.
That's what I would sing.
You recognize this song?
Is this Huey Lewis in the News?
No,
it should be.
Oh, this is Hulk Hogan's theme music.
Oh my God!
I would come.
This
down.
Also sounds like the music for like some Hot Wheels commercial from the 80s. Like, get the new Razor Scooter Hot Wheels. Jump through the hoop of fire. Jump over the ring of magic and into the pool of death. You and your friends can. But this is what you would walk down the aisle to.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Would you walk down the aisle with Hulk Hogan?
I would hope so.
Or you know what? You'd walk down the aisle and then you would look up in the corner and he'd be standing up like on a hill and he'd just look down at you and he'd give you a salute like, congratulations, brother. Wow, why that song?
Because when I was a kid growing up in the 80s and wrestling was big, I love that Hulk Hogan. To this day, I still get chills when I hear the Hulk Hogan theme song.
Do you really?
I do. Like, okay.
Wow.
So like, okay, you know how you cry to like some Dave Matthews Band songs?
No. Maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Don't put on Crash.
That was like a mouse.
That was a dwarf version of Crash. Yo, a dwarf Dave Matthews cover band? Dwarf Matthews Band? No, but I think you sing it normally. I think you sing it normally. You just guys just have mini instruments.
And just do the Dwarf Matthews Band?
Dude, because you doing the Dave Matthews dance?
What? Oh yeah, when he kind of like shuffles.
He does, like, yeah, he's got that crazy feet action.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like if you try to do the Axl Rose snake dance, but you have a stroke midway.
Yeah,
that's when
a great way to describe.
That's when you get the Dave Matthews dance, and well, because they have Little Kiss. They have
really?
Yeah. Oh, okay, I have a story about that.
All right. Did you get brought up on stage?
Yes.
Did you really?
We were in New Jersey. I was opening up for Mencia, and Little Kiss was in the same hotel. We were at the Borgata Casino.
Yeah.
It's a great venue. Please book me again. Because obviously the CEO listens to this podcast.
Yeah, he's got to.
Obviously.
What else is he going to do? Beat his. Well, I got a couple of different options I can go
here. Improv class. Yeah. Come on.
No, but I was gonna, you know, the first thing I was going to say, beat his wife, but I don't want to say that.
Right.
Which, by the way, Louis C.K. just came up with this great bit about wife beaters. That's what I was trying to remember when I was telling you the other night about how he saw All New Material.
Oh.
He was just like, dude, he's like, we take this shirt. He's like, and we call, he's like, people casually are just like, yeah, I'm wearing my wife beater. He's like, a fucking terrible act of violence against women. He's like, that's how, he talked about at that time how little, like, power women had, that we had a right. shirt named after beating the shit out of them.
Right.
That we would wear. That they would wear.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I was doing the Borgata Casino with Mencia, and we found out, because Mencia was playing the big theater, and then I don't know if it was Mini Kiss or Tiny Kiss or Little Kiss, because there's three different cover bands. There's three different midget Kiss cover bands.
I mean, that seems like the market's getting saturated at that point.
You would think, but the demand is so high.
So high. Is that a short joke?
I don't know. Maybe.
The demand is so high? Yeah, okay. You don't even realize it. You got so many puns and quick zingers coming out.
I just fire them out, dude.
Your zinger rate, by the way, if you really sat down, like I would like to, the next podcast, when it's just you and I, we're going to have a game where I have topics, and I'm going to see how many you can fire off. Because you are rapid fire. You got a quick brain for the quick jokes.
Thank
which
you,
is why you should write for the roasts.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
But we might even do that at the end of this podcast. So stay tuned.
Just fire topics.
So stay tuned. All right. Yeah, so you're at the Borgata Casino.
And we find out that, because a lot of casinos have a big room and like a smaller room for smaller like lounge acts. And Mini Kiss is in the smaller room where like you have to open up for us. Like you have to bring me on stage. So, and they had time like in between shows. So they ran up on stage. All four members of Mini Kiss, and I couldn't have envisioned this. If you gave me the best acid in the world, it would not have been as good as this moment. Because they run up on stage, and like the drummer goes, "You wanted the best? You got the best little comedian in the world."
Whoa,
Brad Williams! And he does it like as Gene Simmons. And I'm just like, oh my god! Now I can't go on stage because I have an erection. Like it was so good. And side note, the singer of Mini Kiss, actually a female little person, and I would be lying if I said I did not sleep with that woman.
Whoa. That's the right. Lead singer of Mini Kiss?
Lead singer of Mini Kiss, my friend.
Good for you. How many cover band dwarf fucks do you have in your wallet?
I have Mini Huey Lewis.
As you will. Wow. Do you have Mini CNC Music Factory?
Damn right.
Or Mini, oh man.
I have Mini LaBouche.
Mini LaBouche. Which is, coincidentally, is where you can pay a dwarf to do to you in Vegas after they give you a jelly munchkin.
I'll take the Mini LaBouche.
I'll take the Mini LaBouche. Do you have a Mini Hootie?
Gotta have a mini hoodie.
Gotta have a mini hoodie or a maybe a.
Oh, but and to answer your question, yes, I told her to keep the makeup on. Damn right.
Jesus, of course you did. Wow. Well, you have a fetish.
Here's the thing is I want to get mad when I'm out in public and I see another female little person and all the people around us stop because they feel like they're watching something from the Discovery Channel, like, hey, we're watching the mating habits of the North American fighting dwarf or whatever. Like we're just about to bone each other. And for me, it's like I want to get mad, but I can't because I'm looking at that dwarf chick like I will totally fuck that dwarf chick.
Sure.
Like I'm going to make that happen. And I know I can because I'm like top 4 or 5 dwarf celebrities.
Yeah, you're higher than that. We discussed this the other day.
Do we do it on the Steve-O podcast?
No, we did it with Jahlil White.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
We shot a pilot with, which we will talk about.
Yeah.
But I said Willow was number one for me for a long time, Warwick Davis.
Right.
But, you know, he's been bumped. He's been bumped. You have filled his high chair.
Yeah. I have, in the words of Dave Attell, you have filled the baby shoes. Yeah. I filled the baby shoes of Willow.
Boy, Attell last night, I saw him. You know, he went up at the Comedy Store after. He went up before me at the Improv.
Okay.
And I closed it out. And then I went to the store for my late spot.
And he was there.
He was there, and he went up before, too. And I by that point, I was so beat, man. And I was just, but he went up for a while, but he's great. He's just so good, man. And he even apologized at the Improv. He's like, sorry, I went on so long.
It's like, but you're David Dell.
Yeah, man. You had so much. What was the thing he said about? He was just so many zingers. What did he say? He goes to the Polish woman. He goes,
there's a Polish woman who had a thick Polish accent. Fuck.
That's the thing because so many quick zingers.
Yeah, there were so many. He is responsible. Now, this I do remember. He is responsible for the best comeback to a heckler I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And
he goes, you look like you just got divorced to somebody right. The buddy, the guy with frizzy hair and disheveled and
he goes
to the dad, he goes you look like you're you moved out here in the 80s to find a daughter, or you look like you just moved out here because you had a daughter in the 80s that you're looking for a daughter who came out here in the 80s to strip.
Right.
You have that look of a dad who's coming to look for his daughter. I'm butchering it, but you get what I'm saying.
I saw him one time at the Irvine Improv, and this drunk woman was just heckling. Like, and by the way, side note, that's when you know that you're a great comic, when other comics, because last night at the Hollywood Improv, when we saw him, how many comics were lining the back?
Oh yeah.
Just watching a tell.
Oh,
he's so damn good.
Oh yeah.
So he's doing his thing, and he gets this heckler, and he shoots her down one time, but then of course she's drunk, so she doesn't know, so she tries again, and she yells out something incoherent, like, "Hey, well, Wrigley Field don't have go on potty bus," like that. And Dave just stops, looks at her, and goes, "All I heard was come, come, gurgle, gurgle, and the sound of a father crying." To this day, that kills
dude,
me.
So good.
And the one thing about this business is that, and like you were talking about when you saw Louis the other night, is that we're still fans.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like we're comics.
Well, because
sure,
it's still.
But we got into it because we like comedy.
Also, it's fun to watch the to be lucky enough to be in a place where the pros come here and that we can be on the same shows with, dude.
Yeah.
It's funny now that I don't even think twice about. Well, that's not true. I still do get off on Attell popping in and going like, oh cool, I get to go on after him.
Yeah.
Like, and now what's really great, quite honestly, is being in a place to where you're like, cool, I get to go on after him. Not like, fuck, I got to follow Attell.
Right.
How am I going to deal with this?
I was about to ask you that. Like, did that thought ever come into your head? Like,
for sure,
I have to go on after him.
Well, for sure, a little bit. Like, you know, first time I had to follow somebody big was at the Improv after Aziz. When Aziz, who is still uberly popular, but
sure,
like when it's, you know, there's always the initial pop that's really just going to be different than, you know, now it's just maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
But when he first really was blown up and he popped into the Improv and people would go apeshit.
Yeah.
And he murdered. And I was like, wow, I got to fucking go up next. And they said, and I went up and I got up there and I was like, you know, man, like, I just tell myself, I was like, you're a different voice. You're talking about different shit. Like, just do what you do. And it went fine. And from then on out, I was like, all right, I think I can hang. And then I had to follow Dane once. And that was a little trickier because he had.
Was that the Laugh Factory?
This is when Dane first came back at the Improv. And so he was still. he's just talking about really some dark stuff, and it wasn't is the upbeat brightness that we would expect, and people were getting used to that. So the energy got dropped down a little
bit. That's my favorite time to see Dane.
Sure. I'm raw, dude.
This is what I tell people when they say, like, oh, do you know Dane Cook? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen him, and I think he's funny as hell, because I love it when you see him at the clubs, because I understand that when he does the big theaters, he has to use huge facial expressions and massive body movements and just crazy stuff, because he's playing to 16,000 people. That's what you have to do to reach the back of the row.
Right.
I love it when he's just in the club and he hasn't done those things yet, and he's trying to see what jokes just work on their own. So, so he's just firing them out, and he's just seeing, okay, is this funny? The same way Chris Rock, when he's doing a theater, does the pace and the inflection and the, you know, you should never hit a woman, buddy. But I understand, you know, and he's got the pauses and all that, like. But you love seeing Chris Rock when he's just like, all right, let's throw some shit out there.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens.
He went up with a notepad at the Comedy Store about 5 years ago when I was 2 years in. And of course, I went on Facebook and was like, I opened for Chris Rock.
That's so funny to say that. I did the same thing.
Dude.
Yeah, because does it.
But you know what, man?
You're a young comic. You don't know.
You need you have such a long way to go. And the problem with young comics, they want to be so good so quick, and they want the accolades, and they want recognition because they just want to be accepted. They want people to validate that what they're doing isn't a waste of time.
Right.
Is a big part of it. And so I think I posted, and people were like, that's amazing. You're doing it, man. And so I'm like, I am doing it.
Yeah.
And deep down, I was like, wow, you're not, you know, you got a long ways to go, but
you could be Dane Cook, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, whatever, but you still have to do what all the comics do, whether you're an open micer or a Seinfeld. You still have to go on
blow
stage.
Blow the booker. Oh, yeah. No. Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah. Whoops. All right.
You give Jamie Asada a hand job or a blueberry nipple fucker.
Nipple fucker. Chunky Boogaloo from past podcasts. we need to have a chart up on the wall of like all the some of these things we've said from past podcasts.
Just the past references.
But then at some point, this podcast will have to be retitled the Callback Show, where all we do is reference things from other shows.
Hey, remember this TV
show?
Which
I think we do anyway.
Would be good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We do that anyway. And talk about meeting your heroes. And we just touched upon it. We just did a pilot with Jaleel White, who's been on this podcast twice. You can go back through the archives and hear him twice.
Yeah, he killed on both. He's got Space Jam stories and Michael Jordan stories and Family Matter.
And by the way, we got the pilot because of the podcast.
Yeah.
Because he was on it and thought, wow, these guys are really fun.
Isn't
really,
it crazy
really
how
funny.
That all happened? Yeah. And basically our role on this show is basically bringing the vibe of what we do here to the show and covering a lot of topics from Instagram comments and how that the breakdown of what the protocol for a guy on how to be creepy and complimentary. And not going to give too much away, but it's
right.
It's a really fun show. And Julius, it's so funny, man. He said he never really has hosted before other than co-hosting The View once. And then his show for Total Blackout. But, dude, he's a natural, man. He's so likable. I was telling him, I go, dude, you got to be likable and you got to listen well to be a good host. And you do, too, extraordinarily.
We both had a moment because when we were discussing this show that we did with him.
Oh, we went to his condo.
We walked into his condo, in this beautiful condo.
Gorgeous.
On the water, Marina del Rey. And and we see it, and we're in awe. And then you and I both had the same moment where we scan the room, and what is on the shelf in the midst of all of his daughter's toys?
The Urkel doll.
The Urkel doll. He has the Urkel doll.
That I owned. I wish it's got to be somewhere in a pile of clothes somewhere.
We see an Urkel doll in the home of Steve Urkel.
And you and I both shared a glance of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like this is the coolest moment of our careers.
We've both gotten
standing ovations, met heroes, done amazing things in this business. But being in Urkel's house, seeing an Urkel doll, that may be the top for me.
You know what one of my buddies said? He goes, dude, did you ever dream that at one point you'd be in Urkel's house with a midget? And I go,
well,
wow. Like he goes, he goes, did 10-year-old Adam ever think that was possible? He's like, if somebody had told you someday. I was like, no, I don't know, man.
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal of all actors.
I had dreams.
Yeah, sure.
That was a bucket list item.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was. I think it's going to turn out great, man.
Yeah, and the thing is for this pilot is we had to dress nicely.
Yeah, it's because it's for Esquire, the network that used to be G4, which is now Esquire. And they, you know, they've got a reputation of being quite fashionable.
Yeah.
And we look fucking good, dude.
I'm not going to lie. We were pulling it off. We had, like, skinny ties and checkered shirts and shoes.
They steamed down our jackets.
Yeah. And like...
Look at us. That's how unfancy we are, by the way. You just go, and shoes.
And shoes.
Like... You know, maybe specify like really nice shoes because people were, you know, just like, because we're used to t-shirts and jeans.
You're the guy who,
I wear a puffy vest on stage.
And when we interviewed Paul Feig, you were wearing a Reading Rainbow t-shirt.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the fashion style of Mr. Adam Ray.
I want to let him know that butterflies in the sky, I can go twice as high. And
that's what we do.
By the way, that's going to be on my tombstone.
Oh, I hope so.
And that's also what when part of my wedding, to get back to that, the craziness, walking down to another night, another dream, and then he's going to go, do you have anything to say to your bride? I'm going to go, I swear. I'm going to sing two verses of All for Ones, and then when he's going to say, read your vows, I'm going to go, butterflies in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, Reading Rainbow, a Reading Rainbow.
And then just add like, and it's also in your heart.
Yeah.
And bring it all back.
In your heart. The same way that you would do in bed after fortune cookies. Just add in your heart to any of your vows.
No, what was that? We were making that joke when we were in Mexico that Jack Johnson couldn't say anything in his songs as long as he.
Do you know I started doing that joke on stage for a while? And,
oh, you did?
Because it fits into all my music stuff about how, and also because I'm talking about like the guys who get women with their lyrics, and I go, sometimes you don't have to make sense; you just have to have a soothing voice like Jack Johnson.
Absolutely.
We were on the beach when we were talking about that. It was like, you know,
and we just figured out that Jack Johnson can sing anything. But then as long as he ends it with something beach-related,
unicorns and pubic hairs, tiny midgets on your stairs, and nipple-flavored pancakes on the beach.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, and that one.
Yeah. Beat your wife
Beat your wife. Wait. With a spoon, 9/11 jokes are never too soon. But I just want to go home and feel the sand beneath my toes.
Yeah, that's what it was. Man. Nothing beats the sand on my feet. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
And he could and he could do that. See, that's...
I drown your doggy in the pool. I kiss your face when you drool.
When a woman talks about her dream wedding, it's like, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be the dress, and my dad's going to walk me down the aisle, and the music, and the vows, and the flowers, and everything. And guys are like, I just want to do something memorable. Like, I just want to do something funny and something memorable. Like, I'm definitely going to do a cartwheel down the aisle. Have you seen that before? You haven't seen that shit happen
no,
before?
No, I would love to see you do that.
You haven't seen a dwarf in a tuxedo do a cartwheel, have you? you're gonna see it if you ever come to my wedding. Someone ever locks this shit down, it's gonna happen.
What song we didn't talk about this? What song are you gonna come down the aisle to?
Oh, I said the Hulk Hogan theme song.
That's right.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan's theme song. It's gonna happen.
I think you should pop out of your own cake. You're definitely popping out of my cake.
With sparklers,
with sparklers,
wearing the wraparound bow tie, but nothing else. You're damn right.
I don't want naked dwarf dick in my cake.
Naked dwarf dick in my cake.
I don't want naked dwarf dick in my cake.
That would be kind of fun.
I don't know what you rhyme with naked dwarf dick in my cake.
That's not but... frosting.
Wilma! Everyone's going to have to dress in Flintstone attire at my wedding. They just gave me another great idea. I'm spitballing here, but these are all sounding like things that are going to happen. Pop out of the cake.
Pop
out of the cake, but then you also, somebody tosses you a mic as you pop out. So you've got sparklers. You stick the sparklers in the cake.
Yes.
You grab the mic, and then you start singing, "You're just too good to be true." And everyone's like, oh my God.
This is the best wedding ever.
Oh, yeah.
See, thank you for giving me that freedom. When my sister got married, her and her husband, my brother-in-law, who I both love extremely very much, they banned me from the microphone. They banned me because they knew that I would turn it into a roast.
Did you?
No, because I was banned.
You couldn't even get on and make a speech?
I tried to grab the microphone, and this is the sucking part about being a midget. Like, my dad just held the mic, like, up over his head, like, doing that. Oh, you can't get it. You can't get it. I'm like, come on! Son.
Nope, you ain't speaking at this wedding.
Come on! This is all about my sister. I'm a comedian and the baby and the family. I have to make this about me.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what? How did you get your congratulations across?
I had to give him a silverware set or Tupperware.
Is that ever going to stop being... awake.
Oh, oh sorry. My stories of my sister's wedding
man,
are boring you,
boring
Adam Ray.
The fuck out of me,
yeah,
dude.
Fuck your family. Oh, yeah. Happiest day of your sister's life. Fuck it.
Yo,
no.
Yo, but when I would disown a friend if he gave me silverware. Again, see, I'm going to be very unorthodox. Even with the wedding dress, I'm going to register at Discovery Zone.
There you go.
So you're going to have to give me...
Give you a ball pit?
A ball pit or a tube slide. You're going to have like six options.
See, what?
People are going to have to pool together because they'll be expensive. Tube slides aren't cheap.
Sure. Where's the cool... Like, you never get the cool stuff. You always go to the wedding registry and it's always like, all right, we want this knife set.
Oh, another blend. How many fucking
microwave.
Blenders do you need?
Yeah.
Are you juicing in all rooms of the house?
this is a garlic press. Go fuck yourself.
Dude, you need a George Foreman grill, a toothbrush, and some condoms.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
And maybe a Razor scooter.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
For things to get really freaky. But that's it. So,
by the way, this is why we're still both single. Or this is why I'm single.
Yeah, why you're single.
Because I just named the four essentials to any good marriage. A Razor scooter, a toothbrush, condoms, and a George Foreman grill. We'll be right back with Adam's Never Getting Married.
Oh, my God. Well, after this podcast, I think my girlfriend's going to leave me. Just like, you are not doing cartwheels down the aisle.
You fucking, hey, you know what I'm doing? Cartwheels down the aisle. If you can't do them at your wedding, we got to get you on the Price is Right so you can do it down some aisle.
Oh, wow.
Do you ever think about your Price is Right dance?
My Price is... I'm probably...
Your come on down dance. Because,
probably more than the wedding.
Yeah, because, yeah, for sure. I would do double dicks. You know what double dicks is? Where you mime? You know when people mime, like, with their... Like,
I thought double
jerking
dicks,
off two dicks towards your face?
I thought double dicks was a failed game show hosted by Mark Summers.
It was. Well, it was a spinoff of Double Dare. They go, what about Double Dicks?
The Playboy Channel needs a game show, Mark. Double Dicks. How
double
about
dicks.
That? Yeah, yeah. That just, worked.
See how many dicks a woman can take? All right. So
you mime jerking off two guys.
Yeah, towards your face.
Okay.
As you're running down the aisle.
Which is like...
Which is a hilarious motion to do.
See, I always thought that this was just raising your hands in the air and waving them like you just didn't care.
No.
It's double dicks.
Yeah, it's double dicks, man.
All right, so that's,
so you're doing that,
that's going to be our hashtag for the week.
Yeah, hashtag double dicks. And tweet us at hashtag double dicks. Come on down. Hashtag Price is Right dance. And because guess what? Everyone, it's always Debbie Larson from Nebraska. Come on down. And she's usually pushing three bills. She's jiggling and bouncing all the way down.
She's clapping a couple
She's doing
times.
The same shit. By the way, it's always come on down. They're not going to tell you to go back to your seat. If you got picked, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
That's part of getting picked.
Yeah.
When Charlie got the golden ticket, he could have like, you know, he could have, you know, breakdanced into the factory with his pants off.
Exactly.
And Wonka would have been like, you got a golden ticket. So
yeah.
Like that's
you get to come.
You're coming in regardless.
Like, hey, Grandpa Joe's been in the bed for 20 years.
Oh yeah.
I can break dance my pants and move my pants off.
Smelling like what did we say the other day? We said it was all four. Well, I used to do that joke in my act about how Grandpa Joe was generous because he gave up his smoking habit to buy Charlie a couple Wonka bars. And I was like, Grandpa Joe, invest that money in a fucking mattress. You are sleeping four 70-year-old people to one bed.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of urine that is being distributed through the sheets and onto the legs.
And you know what? Side note, on top of that, how pissed off are you?
Nice pun.
Yeah. On top of that, how pissed off are you if you're Charlie Bucket's parents? You're taking Grandpa Joe to the fucking factory, not the woman who, you know,
who
fired
slaved
you
over
out.
That, yeah.
Yeah, who was making cabbage soup night.
She was like, what's for dinner? She's like, hot water and bread.
Yeah.
She would like steam a pot of water and was like, anyone want dessert? That's how poor they were.
Yeah. Your dad, who I think in the book, I don't know if they said this in the movie, but in the book, his job was to screw caps on,
he didn't have a dad in the
on,
movie.
On the toothpastes.
That was his job?
That was his job, I think. I'm pretty sure about that.
And now it's machines that do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, your
when
dad...
When did Willy Wonka take place?
in Narnia? I don't know.
The '30s?
Yeah.
Boy, and how poor were they? His last name is Bucket. His last name is the thing your whole family has to go to the bathroom in.
That's when you know you're poor.
Jesus.
That would be the equivalent of your last name today being Bidet.
You don't really... Yeah. You don't see, my name is Lucas Bidet. I am a French male model for Gap in Benin Republic.
Benin Republic?
Dude, that's how... That type of story, though, the rags to riches,
mm-hmm.
you don't get to see too many like classic tales like that these days where...
They're always I good.
A kid from nothing...
Yeah.
He lived miles away from anything.
Sure.
The movie, if they really wanted to, they shortened that running scene when he ran from the store after he got the ticket
to
home.
Right.
They showed him, it was like a fucking epic journey. It was like the amount of time they took in Land Before Time when they showed that long montage of them actually like taking the journey to the Great Valley. Like Charlie was running over hills and valleys. And then all of a sudden he ends up at this shack in the middle of fucking Boom City.
And by the way, incredible cardio.
Yeah.
Because he never slowed
down. Yeah, the stamina on that kid.
Oh, my God.
That's probably why Wonka dug him.
Dana White's watching that going, get him in the octagon. He's never going to run out of gas.
Yeah, dude.
We're good.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Charlie Bucket sounds like a pro wrestler. Oh, my God. It's Charlie Bucket. Stone Cold is looking out for Charlie Bucket.
Yeah, I'd put money on Charlie Bucket. Chuck Bucket.
Chuck Bucket. All right. Chuck Bucket sounds like something you do at a frat house to get hazed.
The Chuck Bucket?
Yeah, you got to do the Chuck Bucket. You want into Alpha Pi Omega, you got to go through the Chuck Bucket.
Oh, man. You had a tough time getting out that last Omega. Was that the frat that gave you the red slip?
Maybe.
Alpha Pi Omega, fuckers.
Maybe.
You didn't rush a frat, did you?
No, I didn't. Cause,
I'm sure you got rushed.
I didn't because when I was going to USC, and for those of you who aren't familiar with USC, we call it the Row. It's where all the frat houses and sorority houses are, and it's where all the parties take place. I didn't rush because every frat house wants a midget at their party, which I quickly discovered.
Yeah, well, every frat house wanted a dwarf.
Sure.
Every frat house needed a dwarf.
But we want a dwarf in our house. We need a dwarf in our house.
That meeting was being discussed in every house. But here's the problem. How many dwarves were at USC while we were there?
Me and the teacher. There was a teacher that was a little person.
There was a little person teacher?
Yeah, and everyone thought he was my dad.
Hilarious.
They're like, hey, man, your dad failed me.
It's hilarious.
Like, I don't know about that.
You could have been in our house, and that would have been great, because you could have been like... I mean, you could have been dressed up as a menorah or something for the Jewish frat parties. Or
I would have gone as... I would have gone as one of those curly sideburns.
That's hilarious. Yeah, we...
That would have been my costume.
Yeah.
Official mascot of Hillel House. Or was it Hillel?
The Hillel, no. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, man. But our house got in trouble. The parties were amazing. Basketball players, football players would go there all the years. And the house was cool. It was apartment style, so you had like the rooms up top and then the big quad in the middle.
Sure.
And then it looked like an old motel, but it was like, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And because Jews,
they know.
There were guys in my house that like, they were like, yeah, but one night they were like, you should go get. I was like, I need to print up some stuff. My printer's broken. He's like, oh, go to Eric's dad's store. I was like, what's his store? Kinko's. I go, what? He's like,
yeah, he owns.
But
all
Eric's
of them.
Last name is, it's not Eric Kinko's. And then I quickly realized, A, I'm stupid, and B, why would your last name have to be the store that you have?
Yeah, I mean...
Like Dan Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Bill Costco. Fred Meyer actually is the only one I think that actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going
to have... Stan Albertsons.
Terry CVS Pharmacy.
Yeah. Ronald Bartell Drugs.
Wow. Going specific with that one.
Skip Walgreens.
Skip Walgreens. Your parties were legendary.
They were legendary,
house.
But then They're senior great. Year they had a crossing the border theme party. Didn't let in a Mexican kid, not because he was Mexican, but because it was like over. It was over.
Oh yeah, sure. No, you had a drunk bouncer that was like way too into the theme. He was wearing his aviator sunglasses, going, God, "We don't let your kind of people in here. You come over here taking our jobs, taking our women.
Didn't let them in, man.
Shots.
It became national news attention. I think that year was the same year that kid had sex with the girl on top of the building. So that was like
right.
That was USC was had a big had a banner
time.
Year for You know what's funny? When we were in the frat, I would do these. We would go to some of the sororities to ask them to do exchanges with us, where it was like the frat and sorority get on a bus and they go have a big party.
Exchange. You give them one of yours, they send one of theirs, right?
Oh, God, Bradley.
That's what an exchange is, right?
I got a lot to teach you about the frat system, dude. No, it's basically
okay,
they,
Keanu.
Oh, one day. Wait, what? My favorite Keanu line ever is from the movie Hardball. In which he
pulling out a hardball for Keanu favorites.
Where he would, you know, where he coached, he was, I think, an alcoholic, and then he coached the inner city T-ball team or something. And he goes,
That old premise.
That old premise. I think that's what the storyline of Air Bud 9 was.
What a heck movie.
Yeah, yeah. But he goes, one of the toughest things in life to do is show up. I'm blown away by your ability to show up. And in my head, I was like, whoever that writer is, go to his house. Punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face. My favorite Keanu line, jeez, it's hard not to pick
Bill anything. Bill and Ted, I mean, there's a lot of classics.
It's hard not to pick anything from Point Break. Just, I am an FBI agent. That might be it.
That was a good one. But he...
Or am I?
Whoa. But in this, I would go to the sorority, and they would have me with my guitar make up a song to ask the sorority in front of all the girls.
Oh, wow.
And part of me was like, all right, this is cool. I'm going to look cool in front of all these girls.
Yeah,
I was a little nervous.
Yeah, because nothing's cooler in college than they do their guitar.
Yeah, and so...
Playing Jack Johnson songs.
Exactly. yeah. And so I'm playing a little, I make up a little song to sing to the sorority. I make it all up. They just ask me, and they're expecting me to be great. And I do it to all but we go to like four houses that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically just do the same song and change the name of the sorority.
Okay.
I wish I could fucking do it. See, that's why YouTube and all that stuff would have been great, or having the wherewithal to have some sort of recording device. So I do these songs. They're catchy. It's fun and upbeat. Mm-hmm. I got the guys to like sing background with me. And you know what's so funny is they'd have like one guy walk in and be like, hey, ladies, what's up? We hope you come to the fucking exchange with us. I'm really making a character out of these guys. Nobody in my frat or any frat really talks like that. Actually, that's not true. A lot of guys do.
Yeah, I met a couple.
Yeah. So he was like, we'd love you guys to come on, dance with us and go on the bus and drink. And Adam's going to have a little song for you. And then I do it, and I did the whole song at three different stories. And the last one we did, I get to the part where I sing the name. So, you know, in the song, it would be like, "In you know, and blah, 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 we'd have a lot of fun. So, Kappa, will you go on a party with us?" Or something like that.
Sure.
So when I'd get to that, so blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we were at, like, let's say it was Pi-Fi, was one of the sororities, I accidentally said Kappa.
Uh-oh.
Which, you know... oh, well.
That's the classic want to get away
from
Southwest commercial.
Dude.
Hello, Cleveland. Yeah. Cleveland was last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what happened?
So I go, so Kappa at Pi-Fi, and there's just this collective gasp amongst all the girls, and one of them goes, what the fuck? And I stop and I look over at my buddies and there's, you know, like 60 frat dudes in this corner of their foyer of their house.
Oh my God.
And one of them looks at me and just goes, dude, what? I go, and then I just go, I start to improvise. I go, just kidding. You guys are way cooler. So Pi-Fi. And then I start singing about how, like, forget about what I just did. And it was like, oh man. And they were, and then afterwards, it was like, anyway, sorry, hope you guys are still down. And then we're leaving, and like a couple of them, like in my house, got genuinely pissed off at me. They're like,
oh, sure.
You fucked it up, dude. And I go, first of all, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah. Well, because when you're in college, that's like the most important thing.
Of course, dude.
That's the most important thing in your life.
And they put it all on me, and I go, you know what, dude? If they don't want to do something with us because of what just happened,
right?
Nobody's writing them a song and performing it to them.
Yeah.
And if they are, it's going to be some guy who's actually really good at guitar, but he's singing like a really pretty song, and it's not funny. It's probably Jack Johnson.
Sorority Row. Now, the guys aren't allowed to go to the girls' houses, but I did.
Yeah, you
one
get
time.
In trouble. So did I.
Oh, yeah.
We can't stay over past like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. This one girl snuck me in one time, and she was absolutely shit-faced. And I remember...
Well, you can sneak in a little bit easier.
Yeah. You throw me in a FedEx box. Just like, that's how you deliver bread.
That's hilarious. Yo, by the way, if you really wanted to, that would work.
Probably.
If you got in a box and got on the front steps and had her get like a dolly, and then she just like propped you up, the security guard would...
My parents sent me something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't even think
about
that.
Why does it smell like Skittles in there?
Sorry, I've been farting. So we get to her room and stuff happens, and then she had fates, and then she woke up, and this is I think I may have changed this woman's life. Like, she may have cleaned up after this, because she woke up not remembering what she did that night. And when you wake up in your sorority house and there's a naked midget next to you, time to second guess. You know, you're like, oh man, I gotta quit drinking.
Yeah.
That's gotta be one of the most terrifying things.
Did she take pictures of you?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, let's go to Naked Midget Sorority Photobomb Secret Photos Brad/
As we found out on the last podcast with Steve-O, I do have a sex tape out there, so who knows? I may have some pictures out there.
Man.
I gotta never do that again.
Can you imagine? I wonder, I mean, they're...
It would...
What if our girlfriends from, like, sixth grade... Not saying that that's when we lost our virginity, but I'm just saying...
Jeez,
like,
you started young, Adam Ray.
I started at five, but... No, that's not true.
She was 42.
She was 42. I was Morgan 5 years old. She was 42. Anytime I recount my sexual adventures, I talk as Morgan Freeman. The first time I had sexual intercourse, I was 5. She was 49.
Check that.
She was 99.
There may have been a Bonnie puppet involved.
A Bonnie puppet or a Barney puppet?
I was gonna say Barney, but suddenly Morgan Freeman became from Boston.
There was a Barney puppet.
It was a Barney, and when he parked the car,
wait, there was a Barney and a Bonnie. There was a Barney puppet and a Bonnie, a Bonnie Hunt puppet.
Bonnie Hunt, good reference, yeah. My friend.
Bonnie Hunt was in Jerry Maguire, and she had the short-lived show, The Bonnie Show, on ABC.
That may be the first Bonnie Hunt reference on the About Last Night podcast.
Bonnie Hunt show reference.
Don't
in the last
hold
five
us to
years.
It, but it might be.
If you're playing at home, drink six.
Damn it! I had Bonnie Hunt reference this week. Son of a bitch! You know what? Our listeners, you should create. I'm challenging you guys.
Create what?
You should create an About Last Night drinking game.
That's not a bad idea.
I think you should.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
I think our listeners should do that.
The amount of callbacks and riffraff we come up with on a daily basis.
Send it to us, and then one day we'll play it. We'll play the About Last Night drinking game as we're doing a podcast. Well, if we have any sort of isms that you guys have picked up on that you could say, hey, when we do something, like maybe if I say something really funny, when then Adam does his high-pitched laugh, which when Adam gets really excited, oh my god, he goes up here, and you do that. So maybe that, or maybe if we reference DuckTales, or
that happens a lot.
Yeah, or any if Brad and Adam reference an 80s cartoon, if Brad and Adam make up the premise of a movie.
Oh, dude, that happens every episode.
Exactly. Someone create the About Last Night drinking game for us. Tweet it to us, email us. You can go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com and you can email us your drinking game ideas.
Yeah, we should give. Yeah, that's a great idea. And guess what? The best drinking game wins 4 round trip tickets to Los Angeles to see Brad dance.
Fuck, really?
To see Brad dance on top of a roof of a Denny's. To the song of your choice.
It's probably going to be there. No Cats in America.
You know what, though? We should get a... All right. You know what, though? There should be some sort of dance for a viewer. Some sort of... All right. The best, like... If we can get 50 submissions for an About Last Night drinking game,
mm-hmm.
The best one gets a free Brad Williams dance to the song of their choice.
Oh, and we will put it up on YouTube.
No, we'll just send it to them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do that. And I'll throw in a...
How does that sound, huh?
Yeah, and I'll throw in one of my t-shirts or something.
There you go.
But yeah, we will do that. So there you go, About Last Night listeners. Think of a drinking game that we could play. If we like it, we'll announce the rules. Hell, we'll play it on air.
Yep, yeah. And, hasn't stopped us before, booze.
And get shit-faced.
Speaking of rules.
Speaking of rules.
Are we going to play a game?
We're going to play a game. Because we have not played What Will Adam Believe?
Oh man, in
a long time.
Yeah,
we've had guests, and they didn't know we want to interact with the guests and not pull focus away from them. So Now we have a little time to ourselves, Mr. Adam Ray. Let's do a little What Would Adam Believe.
You got any theme music?
I don't. I think I should just play...
any Real McCoy key?
Yeah, any Real McCoy again. Or Hulk Hogan.
Jesus. You're in the fucking Hulk, man.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Adam Ray believes everything you hear. That's where the power lies, brother. All right. That's going to be our theme music for this time. But this, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this game, What Would Adam Believe? This stems from the fact that when Adam's parents got divorced, a kid on the playground came up to Adam and said, "Hey, Adam, your parents got back together."
Oh, God.
And Adam believed it. So good job there, buddy. So
yeah, well, you know what? The kid was convincing.
Yeah, he
kid. Well, who am I kidding? It was a teacher. It was the principal. They're like, "Yeah, you fat little shit."
So here's what we do is I read off three facts. One is true, two are false. Adam has to pick which fact is indeed true.
These aren't easy, by the way. I remember one time I think I picked one where you said alligators think African Americans taste better than white people.
And you're like, "Yeah, that's the fact."
Jesus.
That's the one I believe. Yes, you did that. So play along at home. These are three facts, two false, one real. First, according to Amazon.com, this year's most popular Halloween costume is the Duck Dynasty guys.
Oh, okay.
That's fact number one.
That's the biggest one?
That's the most popular Halloween costume this year.
Okay.
Number two, an Ohio judge tells a man to his face and pronounces him legally dead.
Okay.
Even though he's alive.
Okay.
Number three, Major League Baseball superfan has caught a home run ball in the last five NLCS. Go Dodgers.
Okay.
So, going through again. According to Amazon.com, this year's most popular Halloween costume is the Duck Dynasty guys. Number two, an Ohio judge tells an alive man that he is legally dead. And number three, an MLB superfan has caught a home run ball in the last five NLCS. Which one is the true fact, Adam Ray?
These all sound pretty good, man.
I make them good, bro.
But you can't tell somebody you're dead if you're not dead.
True.
Is it?
I don't know. See, this is what you do. You always fish for answers, and I have to avoid giving you
stepping
hints.
Into the truth.
Yeah.
Well, Duck Dynasty, I believe that. I definitely believe that, actually.
Okay. You can go with the Duck Dynasty, or are you going to mull it over a couple more for another minute or so? Most popular Halloween costume, Duck Dynasty.
Ohio. No, I think the most popular Halloween costume is going to be... this year, it's going to be somebody from the government.
Dick Cheney. That's right. This year's most popular Halloween costume, Slutty Dick Cheney.
Slutty Dick Cheney. Oh, God. Slutty Splinter.
What would Slutty Splinter sound
apparently
like?
Apparently just coming his pants like you just did. Oh. That's also him checking his email and seeing that he overdrew his account. Which is what I do in my act. I guess it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Duck Dynasty. No, I mean, that could be number one, but yeah, Slutty Dick Cheney could be an option. I also feel like somebody could go as Beverly D'Angelo from Chevy Chase movies.
Yeah, obviously. That's hot right now.
That's never been not hot. That could be the fact. But then the other one, the guy, I don't believe the guy told somebody he was dead. That just sounds too crazy. Okay. What was the last one?
MLB superfan has caught a home run ball in the last five NLCS.
Games? Series?
Years. So like 5 years in a row, he has been to an NLCS and caught a ball. Not games in a row, like series. So the last 5 years.
You seem pretty confident with those facts.
I am pretty confident with these facts.
You get a glowing, whimsical. Like.
I just love watching the gears turn in your head, my friend. Amazon.com. Ohio judge tells man he is legally dead, and MLB Superman has got a home run ball in the last five in NLCS. Adam Ray, what is your answer? What is the true fact?
The true fact is the Duck Dynasty is the most popular costume.
In the words of the great Willy Wonka, you are wrong, sir! You get nothing!
This is the fucking fourth time you've quoted Willy Wonka to tell me that I lost. But it's super appropriate.
Yeah, it's the best
you
way
lose.
Ever to do it. You lose! Good day, sir!
God.
That is not a true fact. Actually, according to Amazon.com, this year's most popular Halloween costume is Miley Cyrus.
Jesus. That makes sense.
From the VMA performance.
Wow. So from the Wrecking Ball performance. But
well, that's just being naked.
Wow.
Being a ball. So not too much of a costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just gave me a great idea.
Yeah, dude, I mean, you should be... I don't know what your costume is going to be, but you should be twerking. maybe twerkle me Elmo.
Twerkle me Elmo.
You in an Elmo suit twerking?
I think I might do the Miley Cyrus thing and then just have my iPod with me just playing, I came in like a wrecking ball.
Dude, I think you should.
I think I should too. So that is not the true fact. Also not the true fact, MLB superfan has caught a home run ball in the last five NLCS. At the time of this podcast being recording, I just saw the Dodgers win game five of the NLCS. So that's why I put that in there. That is not true. The true fact is, and I'm pulling up the story now, an Ohio judge told a man, even though he's standing right in front of him, that he is legally dead.
Oh, wow. Where did you read that?
ABCnews.com, my friend.
Jesus.
Here's the story from ABCnews.com. Here's what happened. A man disappeared in 1986. He disappeared to avoid paying child support. Okay. And he didn't show up anywhere.
I heard a woman do that a while ago, and she just turned up in her family like 12 years ago.
Oh.
Or 12 years.
Well, this guy came back because after being gone for so long, the court said, hey, you're legally dead. This guy's dead because he wasn't anywhere.
Sure.
No one could find him. So he gets back because he wants to apply to get a driver's license and reinstate his Social Security number. But the judge looks at him and says, hey, If you're alive, your ex-wife has to repay all this money for Social Security benefits, and I don't want her to do that, so fuck it. You're still dead.
What?
And he tells the guy, you're dead. So he doesn't exist.
What? That might be the craziest story I've ever heard.
He's alive, but according to this judge, he is still dead. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still stuck on this Miley Cyrus wrecking ball costume that I'm going to have to pull off.
Yeah, is that actually going to be your costume? We haven't talked about that at all.
I don't know. I was going to go for Pillsbury Doughboy, but now I think I might have to go with Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball.
Dude, why can't you combine them?
Well, they're both wearing white tank tops and white undies.
I mean...
as long as I follow the advice of...
why don't you be Pillsbury Doughboy on a wrecking ball?
Pillsbury Doughboy on a wrecking ball.
Twerking Pillsbury Doughboy?
And... So it's like a remix. Like, I came in like a wrecking ball.
There it is.
There he is. All nice.
Your twerking makes perfectly warm crescent rolls. That's what your whole thing is, too.
I like that, and I'll just use my ass to knock crescent rolls into people's hands. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to come up with another idea, you should probably stop your brain from doing that.
That's the best one so far.
And my costume is going to be... Well, I have a couple options. Yeah. I'm either going as you.
Wow. I would love to see that costume.
Yeah. But I'd have to do the whole, like, where, you know, you put your knees in your shoes.
Right, right, right.
And then just get comfortable with that.
And then you have to be surrounded by bitches.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Not women, female dogs.
Yeah, obviously.
Just a gaggle of dogs.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And then I'm either looking at the Brad Williams costume.
Mm-hmm.
Or the...
I would go as Adam Ray, but I can't find any pairs of purple pants.
Wow. You know, I lost those purple pants.
You lost your purple pants?
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of the things about traveling, man, that's really starting to take its toll is me not knowing where some of my articles of clothing end up, like purple pants. I'll take stuff out and it'll get...
That was God, my friend. I don't care if you believe in a higher power or not. That was God saying...
Wait, you're saying God took my purple pants?
God took your purple pants.
He said enough.
He said
subconsciously.
Enough.
He was like, you know what, man? Things. I'm going to help you out here.
you've been struggling, and I think I know why.
No, I think my costume, you know, I think I'll go as LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow to bring it back.
Please.
If he's going to be, you know, the responsible for my wedding vows, it's only natural that.
As you do.
Years prior. I dress up as him.
Please go.
I need a bunch of kids around me, though, to go. Don't take my word for it. I'll be like, shut up, get in the van.
Yeah, that's not going to be weird when a guy, when a white Jew shows up in blackface wearing a Reading Rainbow t-shirt with 10 kids around him and he says, don't take my word for it. Yeah, that's not going to be weird at all. You're not going to get the cops called on you.
Yeah.
Wait, are you going to go as slutty LeVar Burton? Like
there
a little like Reading Rainbow half top?
Oh, my God.
Maybe doing that? I am
curious.
Little baby tee?
For sure. I am curious to see the amount of slutty outfits that kids come out. And I'm curious at what age is going to be too young for kids to go as Miley Cyrus. Because if my nieces, who are four, dress up and start twerking, which, by the way, they can't twerk because at four, you got nothing to shake around.
Yeah.
Nothing's bouncing. So it's just going to look like they have to go to the bathroom really bad.
It's going to be like a little pee dance.
It's going to be, a little pee dance.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
If you got costume ideas for me about Last Night Fans, please tweet them at me.
Sure.
Hashtag Halloween idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did post a picture on my Instagram of me as a bird. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Yeah, that was second grade.
My mom,
she found this bird outfit. I didn't know what to go as, and she found a bird. I wasn't a bird from anything. I wasn't Tweety Bird. I wasn't Big Bird.
Mm-hmm.
I was just a fucking purple bird with yellow, red, and orange feathers and a beak. Everybody else was football players, as you see in that photo, cowboys, ninjas. I'm out at recess. Kids are like trying, you know, playing pretend, and they're like, "Hey, it's Cowboys versus Indians." I'm like, "What about me?" They're like, "You can go sit in that tree and be lookout."
Now, is this a homemade costume or like a store bought?
She store bought it, but she like made some snippets on some parts.
And
she circumcised me, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it was a home home kit.
The bird had a bris.
A one act by Brad Williams.
So when you did that. Because
I saw
the picture.
Yeah, and we had a
because
parade.
It covered your face.
Yeah, and we had a parade. That was one thing. And I was also a fat kid in a bird suit. It was a.
By the way, why do they make kids do that? Why do they make kids
parade
through
the classrooms? We had
to
do that
because they do the Halloween costume parade. All you do when you're a kid that's like
you're on display,
7 years old
to lower your confidence,
8 years old, you just find out
it's a self-esteem stripper.
Yeah, a self-esteem stripper. Wow,
that's kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron.
No, but I mean, we paraded through the fifth and sixth grade classes, which were the kings of the school because the school went to sixth grade.
Sure.
I'm in second grade, and all these kids are just who I have to, you know, I live next door to or I'm on the bus with, and they're just, they're all look like we just had to walk through so they could look at because they weren't dressing up because I think by fifth and sixth grade they thought they were too cool.
Right.
Yeah, and so I'm walking through just hearing giggles and points. It's like, you don't think I get that in my normal hammer pants and mesh jerseys? Like, I'm already getting the points and the giggles.
My normal everyday costume, people think I'm Right Said Fred singing I'm Too Sexy.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the mini fat version of Right Said Fred. Which, by the way, throw that in your mini fuck list. Your mini celebrity musician.
I can do that. Now... Yeah, because like when they do the parade of the costumes, all that does is say whose parents loved them and whose parents did not love them. Because you see some kids come in with like just a plastic sword and be like, I'm He-Man. You're like, you just have the sword. you
but
pansy.
Dude, some of the kids can't afford the whole He-Man outfit.
I know. So you make some furry underwear yourself.
Yeah, or you just wear underwear.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how awesome would that be if a kid just shows up with underwear and a sword? He's like, I'm He-Man. What are you going to do? Tell him not to, like...
Then, like, three teachers are like, I cannot legally look at this.
Yeah, yeah. And the mom, literally, what happened is she had to work late. She couldn't do laundry. She's like, just go as He-Man. Mom, it's January. Just say you're He-Man again. That's sad. That's the real-life Charlie Bucket.
My biggest hit.
The kid who's forced to go as He-Man every day. That's a rags to riches story at sea. And then guess what?
What's that?
He grows up and becomes like a real life He-Man, like a vigilante.
Ooh.
Look at that. Hey, if you're playing at home, drink six for the other from He-Boy to He-Man.
Yeah. He started off as a He-Boy.
Wait, maybe it's Hebrew He-Man and he's a Jewish
the
kid?
The Hebrew He-Man? I have the power. Or maybe I don't. I don't know.
Yeah. The power is in you. On Shabbat? Right,
I have the power to defeat Skeletor. It's Saturday.
Well, maybe not today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometime.
Whenever. Yeah.
He's covered in meat.
Listen, Adam, we have guests, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
But it is nice every now and then to have just these podcasts with just me and my buddy.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And to hang out. and to talk about He-Man movies and discuss fucked up Halloween costumes and banging members of Mini Kiss.
What a great time, man.
As we do.
What a great time.
You can find me, BradWilliamsComedy.com, at FunnyBrad, and follow me on Twitter.
And rate and subscribe to the podcast, AboutLastNight.com. All the episodes are streaming on there, and we got our email on there. Hit us up. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate it. Give us 5 stars if you want.
Do it.
That's not too many, huh?
Oh, it's just 5, and thank you for continuously coming up to us at the shows and telling us that you listen. Thank you for telling your friends up to listen to this podcast. We do appreciate that. We know you have a lot of podcasts out there. We appreciate your business, everybody.
Get your pets spayed and neutered. No, but you know what? It's true. There are a lot of podcasts, and we feel fortunate that we've got a strong following. And, you know, come up with those drinking game rules and shoot them over to us, because the winner is going to get comedy tickets, Brad t-shirts, Adam signed DVD copy, maybe.
All right.
Of The Heat. Came out on DVD.
There you go. And then I'll dance to a song of your choice.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And we will send that to you. So come up with the About Last Night drinking game. Send it to our email at aboutlastnightpodcast.com.
Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my tour dates, adamraytv.com.
Can't wait to read your guys' drinking games. Thanks for listening to the podcast. On behalf of Adam Ray, I am Brad Williams. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.